Do you believe that? Do you believe God's love never runs out on you? It's always there. Well, the scripture for today comes from the Old Testament. It's my favorite verse. It's one of the few verses in the Old Testament that many of you know and have memorized because it's short, it's sweet, and it's powerful. You see, this one statement by a prophet who was powerful in his day and wrote a book, it was very small, so he wasn't one of the major prophets that prolificated on a lot of things, but he was a prophet in the 8th century BCE, before the Common Era or before Christ. And in that 8th century, Micah prophesied to Judah. Already the world of the Hebrew people had been split into North Israel and South Judah. Israel had been destroyed, but this prophet Micah prophesied before three different Judean kings: Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. One is virtually unknown. The second was an evil or bad king, and the third was one of the greatest kings, the king that discovered the scrolls and began a renaissance in Judah. But this text today is known for its simple threefold directive, that if we did what it says in Micah 6:8, do what's right, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God, that would be enough to change this world. If we do that, not just read it, but do that. But it comes in a context, and the context is important. And so before I read it, I want to talk to you about this context. You see, what Micah does is he portrays this statement as coming from the court of God. So picture yourself in a courtroom. And in that courtroom, there are certain protocols that have to happen. And so the very first thing is to ask a question. The question is, as the person on trial stands before him, what have I done? And then the answer is to demonstrate a case history of what God has done. So as God stands before the human race, he says, I have created you. I am great, and I have commanded you to love. But in my divine steadfastness, I continue to show you compassion, love, salvation. He goes on to talk about how he has led them and into the promised land. And finally, there in the camp of Shittim, the camp right before Joshua leads the people into the promised land, he talks about the saving acts of God that have led them to that point. And it's interesting because in this kind of dialogue that God is directing with Israel, he lists the cultic activities that they do that are not necessarily the heart of what God wants. And that child sacrifice, you know, sometimes we think of ourselves as sacrificial. Lent is coming up on the 17th. And Lent is a time when Christians give up something. It's a time of saying, you know, I'm going to stop doing something so that I can reflect on other things. But we have a tendency to go through the motions and not have the heart of what we want to do during Lent. But at the end of all of Micah's courtroom drama, he says the answer is simple. Do justice in all your relationships daily. People you love, people you don't like, people you don't know. Do what's right. And love. Love people. That's what we do. We're supposed to care about people near us. Angry people, frustrated people, loving people, easy people, difficult people. And so with me, hear this courtroom drama once again as I read you the scripture, Micah 6, but in context, verses 1 through 8. Micah says, "Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains themselves, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I worried you? Answer me. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Action of love, number one. "And redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam, the great leaders of the Exodus. Oh, my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, and Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. And what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal," in my translation. The word in Hebrew is Adam. "O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy, kindness, and to love and to walk humbly with our God?" Those three things have been written on tattoos, on walls, in notebooks. These are the things that God requires of us. We claim the blood of Jesus because we're unable to do all those things. Do you remember in the late 90s, I was a youth pastor, it was my later years, and I was taking big groups of high school students to Mexico. And while I was down there one year with about 200 high school students, there were people selling these little bracelets that were popular at the time. They said WWJD on them. Now, the ones I got in Mexico for the kids were woven by people. So I thought I was helping the street people by buying these. And then I gave them as we wrapped up our ceremony, as we celebrated the houses that we had built that year. And I gave each one of them. And it said, stood for, "What would Jesus do?" Do you remember that phrase? It was very popular. It was very popular, and the kids looked at it and they thought of Jesus would have built these houses. Jesus wants kindness. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to walk with our Lord. But there was a problem with those bracelets. And the problem was We can know what Jesus would do, but that doesn't mean we'll do it. To know is to do. No, that's not correct. To know guides us in a path of what to do, but we still have the choice of how we actually act. Knowing what Jesus is only half would do is only half the challenge. The other half is us putting it into practice in our own lives. Micah challenges the people. Do what you know God would have you do. So maybe it should be WWJHMD. What would Jesus have me do? A question that we should tattoo on our brains and our hearts as a reminder of who we are. You know, Søren Kierkegaard was a rather doleful person, but he was a great thinker. Wrote a lot of philosophy, and in one place he wrote, "We are artful dodgers, and we act as if we do not understand the New Testament, because we realize full well that we should change the way we live drastically." And then he goes on to say, that's why we invented religious education and Christian doctrine and another concordance and another lexicon and a few more commentaries and three other translations, because it's all so difficult to understand. Yes, of course, dear God, all of us, capitalists, officials, ministers, house owners, beggars, the whole society, we would be lost if it were not for scholarly doctrine. You see, sometimes we can hide behind the complexity of Christianity. We can hide behind all the rules and regulations and everything. But at the heart of it is to see what Jesus would do and then to put it into action in our own lives. That's the only thing that God wants from us. He wants to see us living out the very things He teaches us in Scripture. Amen? Amen. I'm going to invite Bryce.